I have a little children's sermon I'd like to do. We have some kids here that I'd like to talk with them. Now, can y'all hear me through this? Is this on? Okay. Now, remember, this is a children's sermon, but it's also for us. So we'll hope that as adults you'll listen as well. Now, can you all see, can you see this? Bethany, hey, you see this? Now, what does that look like? A plate? Yeah? You know, I bet, now, no one's done this, and don't do this, because it'll break, but I bet you, when I flip it like that, what's it kind of look like? A hat? Is that what you said? Well, it kind of looks like a hat. Yeah. And you know what I think of, because I'm still a kid at heart, I think it looks like a frisbee. Mike! No, I'm just kidding. Not going to do that. But don't ever use it as a frisbee. But you know what we use it for in church? We call it an offering plate. Now, you've watched this happen, right? You saw it today. The people pass the plate around, and other people put things in here, and we call it our offering. Our
plate.
Yeah, like a plate. Like you'd put stuff on a plate, maybe a food on a plate or something else on a plate, right?
Maybe like money.
Yeah, like money, that's right. Well, that's what people put in here. And they usually put money in here at church. And they call it their tithe and their offering. Now, you see, tithe, the Bible teaches us. Now, I know that's a tough word to even understand, but it's kind of for mom and dad's sake, okay? You what? You do. You have a Bible. That's good. Well, I hope as you learn how to read that you'll read your Bible. Maybe mom and dad will read it to you right now. Do they read it to you sometimes?
Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, that's good. Oh, look at that. Thank you. See, now this is what this plate is for. Just put a little bit of money in there. That's right. So each of you put a quarter in. And these quarters, once you put it in this plate, it's no longer your money. It's not yours, it's God's, because you offer it to Him and you give it to Him freely. And that's what offering is about. It's about giving what you have, what you earned, what you count precious, and you say, I'm giving it to God for His work and for His glory. And so anytime you see this plate pass, and if you have money, you don't have to give all your money, but you might want to, if you get birthday money or Christmas money or something like that, you may want to put a little bit of it as an offering to God and say, God, I want you to use this money too. Now, this money is used to help people know who Jesus is. All right? And we want people to know who Jesus is. What's that? Yeah? Do you sometimes get birthday money? A quarter is 25 cents. That's right. That's right. And a lot can be done with 25 cents. Even today, I think you can still even get a piece of bubble gum. Sometimes with a quarter. All right. Well, we're going to go ahead and we're going to pray, and then I'm going to let you guys go to your class, okay? God, I thank you so much for allowing us to be here with Wesley and Bethany. And Lord, I pray that they will learn what blessing there is in choosing to obey you with offering and tithes. I pray for their parents. I pray that they will choose to continually teach them the ways of Almighty God through Jesus Christ. I pray that they'll have a good time now and even learn more about you in the moments to come. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, y'all can head on to your class. Now, you can maybe guess that today we're talking a little bit about offering. But as you'll see on your bulletin, the title really is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Offering can be easy sometimes if you offer to God from your surplus. The sacrifice is much different. Offering is defined as a thing offered, especially as a gift or contribution. So today, with Chris coming up here, I offered him a New Testament that he can utilize to share Christ with others. We often offer gifts, advice, whatever it might be. We offer up all kinds of things. But sacrifice is a little bit different. It's an act of offering something precious. I'm with you on that. What? Sorry. My ADD just hooked in right there and I lost my train of thought. Sorry about that. Sacrifice is an act of offering something precious, even to the point of transforming it, sometimes even through, say, destruction. So therefore we offer up something and we burn it, or we destroy it in some way, shape, or form. Someone may say, well, I'm no longer going to drink alcohol. And so they take all the alcohol in their house and they transform it, they destroy it, dump it down the drain, break the bottles, things like that. That's something that you're giving up more than just, I'm giving out of my surplus as an offering to you, a gift. But sacrifice is something precious. In the book, Band of Brothers by Stephen E. Ambrose, there's a story of a young World War II soldier named David Webster of Easy Company of the 101st Airborne. He wrote the following to his mother. Stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight. If necessary, I will die fighting. But don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. Those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice. Strong words by a young man. A young man who understood his purpose. He understood what he was fighting for. He understood that he was fighting for something more precious than his own life, greater than his own self. And all he had to sacrifice then was himself. Scripture often refers to the Christian life as a war, a spiritual battlefield. There's no victory apart from sacrifice. Just as our salvation was purchased at great cost, overcoming the enemy and walking in the Spirit requires that we be willing to give up things, personal goals. Give it up in trust to God in order to triumph. So today we're going to embark on a journey together. A journey of offering and sacrifice. We're going to learn how it applies to our life as true followers of Jesus. Like the young man heading into war and his willingness to sacrifice himself, even to his last breath, for something greater than he. Then we too must be willing to offer ourselves for the greater cause of Almighty God, trusting that He will take care of all the other things, all our other needs. Will you pray with me? Holy God, we lift this time up to You. You're a holy and precious God. Truly, we are nothing aside from who we are in Christ Jesus. I pray that we will have a greater understanding of that today, maybe even a greater willingness to sacrifice ourselves, things we hold dear and precious, for the cause that is greater than us, the cause of Jesus and His gospel, the salvation that comes through Him. Jesus, it's in Your name we pray this. We ask You to work in our hearts and lives through Your Spirit. Amen. I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Genesis. Now, Genesis is the first book of the Bible. I remember watching one of the game shows. This is when I was a kid. And the question was asked of this lady, what is the first book of the Bible. She thought and she thought. Now, Genesis means beginning. You know that, right? Exodus, which is the second book, means to end or to leave. And she, at the end of her time, she said, Exodus, as the first book of the Bible. And I thought, wow, as a kid, how sad it was that she didn't even realize that Exodus, meaning to leave, exit, being the first book of the Bible. Genesis, beginning. It is the beginning. Well, what are we going to see in Genesis chapter 22? Genesis chapter 22. We're going to see part of the beginning of true sacrifice. The biblical story we'll read here is most likely a familiar one, and I would like for us to read it from its beginning to its end. So we will start in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1, and we'll read this account through verse 19. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am, he answered. Take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, my father. And he replied, here I am, my son. Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham! He replied, here I am. And he said, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it is said, it will be provided on the Lord's mountain. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offering will possess the gates of their enemies. Offspring will possess the gates of their enemies. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because you have obeyed my command. Abraham went back to his young men, and they got up and went together to Beersheba. And Abraham settled in Beersheba. There's a lot of things in this account. And we can learn much for our own lives from this story of Abraham. Some reading this may say, how ridiculous for this man to go and take his son and offer him, being willing to offer him as a sacrifice. Well, we need to understand that Abraham lived among people surrounding him that continually offered their children to their gods. Which also may make Abraham say, "Really?" and doubt his Lord, because he knew that at no time had God, Almighty Creator God, the true God, at no time had he ever asked anyone else to offer their children as sacrifices. So what do we learn then from Abraham in a story like this? I believe the first thing we see from Abraham is his obedience to God's command. Let's look again at Genesis 22:1-3, where it says, "After these things God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he answered. 'Take your son,' he said, 'your only son Isaac, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' So Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about." The offering of the firstborn. Well, what a contention I think Abraham must have had. If you read in passages before this, you'll find out that Abraham and his wife Sarah were old. They were well in their 80s with no male children. No one to carry on the name of Abraham. And then God came to Abraham and promised a son. I'm making the story short, but promised them a son and then gave them Isaac. So Isaac now is his only son, without much chance of another one. Because this one came by holy power, supernatural ways. And now God is saying, "Take this son, and I want you to offer him to me as a sacrifice." This kind of obedience that Abraham had, he didn't argue. He said, "Here I am." And that's all he said. The next day he gets up and he gets his servants to come with him. He gets everything ready to go make this sacrifice. Now he understood the sacrifice of firstborn. Not children, but of his livestock. This was an example given to him by his forefather, as we read about Abel. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "And Abel also presented an offering, some of the firstborn of his flock, and their fat portions. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering." You see, Abel was a livestock farmer. He made his living by having food from his livestock, trade with his livestock. But he took among the firstborn of his livestock, and that's what he offered to God. What do you think of that? The firstborn, well, they're the first that will mature. So in other words, they're the first that he would have benefit from. And yet he takes them and sacrifices them, so he has to have patience for the next born to grow up and gain benefit from those. So Abraham understands this too, because Abraham was a livestock farmer. He had much livestock. He was a very wealthy man, and that's how they determined wealth in those days, was the number of livestock and servants you had. And Abraham had a lot. So as hard as it is for Abel then to offer up this first of his livestock, Abraham would have followed suit, and God blessed, and he saw God bless. Now Abraham, who has already promised a great nation through him, through his firstborn son Isaac, God says, "Slaughter him in sacrifice to me." Ultimately, what we have here is Abraham saying, "God, I trust you." Certainly, I believe, as many theologians believe, Abraham believed in resurrection. He believed in the creative power of God. He knew what we know from Genesis, that God created all that we see in the universe in 7 24-hour days. So if he could do that, he could certainly raise the dead. But Abraham would still have to walk through the motions, even if God chose to raise Isaac from the dead and kill his son. So Abraham trusted God, even though he did not fully understand God's plan for him. Is it any wonder, then, that the wisest man in Scripture, the wisest man to live, King Solomon, penned the following words in Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not rely on your own understanding. Think about him in all your ways, and he will guide you on the right paths." So many of us put down all kinds of plans for ourselves, for our money, for our time, and we don't even consider God. And yet God says, "Give it to me, and then trust me to direct your paths. Don't worry about trying to understand where I'm taking you and how it's all going to be, but trust me." I think of my dad. My dad, he was a man that had lots of aspirations. He wanted to see the world. He wanted to, and had abilities to make lots of money and do all the things that he might want to do in this material world. But he said, "No, I'm going to trust in you, Lord, and I'm going to follow you." And I watched my dad all my life, even when it seemed ridiculous sometimes. He followed God, and to see how God directed his paths, how God brought amazing things. My dad has literally been all over the world, serving the Lord, doing what God wanted him to do. And in most of those cases, he didn't have to pay a dime for it. God took him all over. My dad did amazing things. He had stuff, even, that he used for God's glory. Why? Because he trusted God. Many of you could have that same kind of testimony in your life, and I hope so. But some of us sometimes struggle and say, "You know, I want to hold on to this. It's too precious. It's mine, God. It's mine. I want this. This is too precious to me. I can't let it go." Abraham could have done that, the most precious thing in his life. More precious than his own life, please understand, was Isaac. So we talked about that World War II soldier willing to give his life. That's one thing. Abraham had something to him more precious than his own life, and he was willing to trust God with even that. The Apostle Paul had something to say about obedience to God in offering sacrifice. He even gives us the reason for it, of why we should offer in sacrifice to God. Romans chapter 11, verse 33, starting there. "Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments, how untraceable his ways. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has been his counselor? Or who has ever first given to him and has to be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." Like Abraham, we must choose to obey. Abraham chose to obey God even though he didn't understand what God was doing. We have been explained through the Old and New Testament, we have had it explained to us why we should offer ourselves as living sacrifices. We even know the reasons in many, many cases. And yet we still find it so hard to sacrifice those things that we choose to call precious. To sacrifice our life, our time, our abilities to God's purposes. Like the young man we read about in the beginning, who was willing to sacrifice his life, Abraham too didn't just obediently choose to give up his son, but he did it willingly. He did it willingly. Let's take a look again at Genesis 22, verses 5 to 10. Then Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we'll come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand he took the fire and the sacrificial knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, "My father." And he replied, "Here I am, son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. When they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. Yes, an act of obedience, but these are acts of will. God didn't have to break him like one might break a horse. I've heard many times people say, "Break the will of a horse, not the spirit." Abraham's spirit certainly was not broken, but his will was broken to that of God the Father. To where he took his son walking away. He might have said, "Son, run. I have to do something terrible. And I'll even chase you, but run, hide. Don't ever see me again. Run." He didn't say that. When his son questioned about the sacrifice, he said, "God will provide." Abraham looked his son in the eyes, and in his mind, that was the lamb that God was providing. And he still willingly went there, willingly built this altar, willingly put the wood, took the wood off of his son's back and put it on the altar. Then he took his son and said, "Son, I need to bind you." What, Dad? I mean, I can't imagine what Isaac was thinking. That's a whole nother sermon. And he laid his son on the altar, ready to do exactly what God said. Some may say, "Well, that's just blind obedience. That's just stupidity." Is it? I don't believe so. We have stories of heroism all over our books of history. Men who knew they were going to their absolute death, but because their commander said go, they went, charging this hill or that hill. We celebrate yearly D-Day. And how many men just coming off their landing vehicle, boom, they were gone. Boom, they were gone. They watched, as they were landing, they watched the other landing vehicles just ahead of them, and all those guys were dying. They knew they were coming out to their death, but they were going to flood those beaches anyway. So is it so crazy for us to think that Abraham would so blindly obey Almighty Creator God? Is it so amazing when we have even been given the reason of God's glory and reconciliation of man to Him? Of why we should be living sacrifices? Is it so amazing that we should say, "I will trust in the Lord and lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways I'll acknowledge Him and let you, Almighty God, direct my paths"? I think not. Patriarchs and matriarchs throughout God's Word and antiquity have written and demonstrated the same willingness to sacrifice that thing that they held most dear. Whether it was their life, or whether it was their family, or whether it was their existence. They were willing to sacrifice for Almighty God. And one example of those is King David. Some may say, "Well, he was king. He was made king of Judah and then king of Israel, of all Israel." He was mighty in battle. What did he sacrifice? Let me tell you something. King David was anointed king when he was young. He could have rallied men together to go and take out the current king, Saul. He had, on more than one occasion, opportunity to kill Saul, and take over the kingship, and never did he do that. He lived in caves. He lived in the wilderness, barely at times having anything to eat. In fact, one time just wishing for a cool drink of water from a well. He knew what sacrifice was. And he penned the words in Psalm 54, verse 6, we read, "I will sacrifice a freewill offering to you," meaning God. "I will praise your name in the most holy name of God, Yahweh, because it is good." We should choose to follow this example. We claim Christianity. If we claim to be true believers, then we too should follow this example with every part of our being and life. If you're here today and you do not claim Jesus as your Savior, Jesus as Lord of your life, then anything you sacrifice, for whatever you might sacrifice, only has good for here and now. That's it. But for those of us who know Jesus, who claim Him, you talk about legacy. Whether they know our name or not, whatever we sacrifice of ourselves as a living sacrifice, of our time, of our resources, of our things, our possessions, our family even, whatever we sacrifice, it will have an eternal legacy. We may not know about it until heaven, but we will know one day. God will bring it all out in the open for all to see. Because as Abraham was blessed, and we can read that at the end of this passage, where God said, "Because of your faithfulness, I will bless you. Your descendants will be greater than the number of stars in the sands and the sea." For us, in following this example, Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16 says, "Therefore, through Him let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. That is, the fruit of our lips that confess His name. Don't neglect to do what is good and to share, for God is pleased with such sacrifices." What do you think this is talking about? For us, our sacrifice, one of the things we should sacrifice is our own pride. What holds us back from sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others? I'll guarantee you it boils down to our pride. We don't want to get rejected. We don't want to get laughed at. We don't want someone to think we're some holy rolling crazy person. And so we won't share our faith with someone else. I talked about in times past that it can be simply just your testimony of salvation. I believe that was the challenge last week. And so I ask, you don't have to, and I'm not asking for a raise of hands, but is there anyone that had opportunity to share their testimony last week with someone else? Would you be willing to share it with us, just what happened? Anybody? You would? All right. Go ahead. I'll tell you what, let me do it like this so we can hear you.
On Wednesday, I think it was, there was this guy named Tavares. We had a lockdown drill. And when everyone was talking about, like, death and everything. And he was like, "Well, I don't care where I go." And I had an opportunity to share with him the gospel. And I knew that his head was spinning because he had tears in his eyes. And I told him to... if he had any questions for me, I would be happy to answer them.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. To simply be brave enough
to share our testimony, to look for opportunities like this, a lockdown drill, and then kids talking about dying and, you know, hearing that, oh, I don't care where I go. And she talked about, well, maybe you should care. Sharing our testimony. That's what this is talking about. That's that sacrifice, being a living sacrifice, always, as Peter said, always ready to give an answer. You see, we're the temple of the Holy Spirit. If we're truly Christians, if we're truly saved, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, don't you know that your body is a sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You're not your own. For if you were bought at a price, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Because of this, we're redeemed in order to offer up our bodies as a sacrifice, living sacrifice to God. Just as Abraham was told to halt in the slaughter of Isaac, Isaac then grew up with all of this happening with him and to him. He grew up to acknowledge God and become the father of Jacob, who became the father of all Israel. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. So rid yourselves of all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. Like newborn infants, desire the pure spiritual milk so that you may grow by it for your salvation. Since you have tasted that the Lord is good, coming to Him a living stone, rejected by men but chosen and valuable to God. You yourselves, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. Now listen to this. To offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So we started with the story of a soldier willing to give his life for a cause greater than himself. We stepped into a story of a man who had something more precious to him than his own life. He had his only son. And he was willing to sacrifice that thing, that son, more precious to him than his own life. He was willing to sacrifice that in obedience. And I say willing to sacrifice, and willingness to God. What little it is that God asks of us, we think it's so great, but God Himself gave His only Son. He actually was sacrificed for us. In that scripture I read that said we were bought with a price, Jesus was that payment for us. And so when God says, be a living sacrifice, dying to ourselves, as Peter said, put away all those things, the malice and deceit and all those things that are ugliness from the world. Pursue God. Trust in Him for your ways. How appropriate today with Chris. He just graduated. Nicholas, next year. Many of us may be having some life decisions ahead of us that we foresee even now. We can trust in ourselves. We can make plans on our own. Oh, yes. But how much better to say, God, I'm going to trust in You. I'm not going to lean on my own understanding. It may seem like I should do this, that, and the other. But God, I don't want to make a step without seeking You. Knowing that that's what You want me to take. Those are the steps You want me to take. He will direct your path. You'll have a life more glorious because of God's glory than you could have ever prescribed for yourself. I urge you to continue reading from Genesis chapter 22, verse 19, and find out some of the neat things that happened in the life of Abraham, Isaac, later on Jacob.
The bottom line, will we be willing? If a soldier, a U.S. soldier, can be willing to sacrifice his life for the greater good of a country, a legacy that will fade away, will we be willing to sacrifice for a legacy that will last forever? Like Abraham, who is willing to sacrifice something more precious than life, only to gain it back in multiples, as you keep reading. Will we be willing to sacrifice things most precious to us, trusting it to God for His sake? The challenge then is this, similar to last week. Share your testimony with someone. Sacrifice your pride. Kurt, sacrifice your pride. Find someone that you can share your testimony with, even if it feels awkward. So what? Just say, hey, I'd like to tell you a little story. Just start with that. If they don't listen, they don't listen. But at least take the time. Take the effort. Be a little weird. Sacrifice your pride. And share your testimony with at least one person this week. And offer it as a sacrifice to God. Let's pray. Holy God, I thank you for this time. I thank you for your word. Lord, I see in my own life where I need to die to myself a little more. To be more of a sacrifice, living sacrifice for you. Why? I have the reason. For your glory. For your greatness. For the legacy of eternity. As Abraham was blessed, so will we be blessed. May we be willing as a people, individually and as a body, may we be willing to sacrifice for you. Next week, Lord, I pray that we have testimonies that we're willing to share, where we've sacrificed our pride and we took a moment to share our testimony with someone, our testimony of salvation. And then, Lord, I'd be remiss if I didn't lift up before you anyone here that does not know you as Lord and Savior. Therefore, any sacrifice they make is just temporal. Therefore, their destination is not heaven, but hell. Lord, I pray that today they would come and seek answers from your word, allowing myself or one of the other members of this church to share with them Jesus. We give you the glory in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we'll end our service today by singing hymn 552, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Hymn 552. Let's sing verses 1, 3, and 4 today, just because it's such a great song.
My Jesus, I love Thee, I know Thou art mine. For Thee all the...
If God's talked to you and you'd like to come and pray with me or come up here and pray, I want to invite you to do so as we sing.
Let's go out. Let's be that living sacrifice that God wants us to be. I could even say, through Scripture, He commands us to be if we claim Christ as Savior. Let's share our testimony. Even if it's awkward, it'll only be awkward to start with. And someone will really appreciate your story of salvation. God bless you and have a great day.